Welcome to Hope Chapel. You're about to listen to Andrew Cole.
Let's get into the word, shall we? Yes. Sorry, I wasn't listening. Yes, we will. When evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There are also other boats with him, and a furious squall, everyone say squall, it's a good word, came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern of the boat sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." An incredible passage about Jesus and his disciples in the storm in the Sea of Galilee. I'm sure you've heard many messages about it. Well, we're going to have another one today. And I've just titled this, Lost or Found. Are you going to find yourself lost or found in your storms? And it's about finding peace in the storm. So I want to have a look at the rich narrative of faith, fear, and divine presence captured in a painting created by an artist called Rembrandt in 1633, which is up on the screen. It's a bit hard to see, isn't it? Can we do anything there, Ken? In a minute, right? And I'll behave. And it's called Jesus in the Storm on the Sea of Galilee. It's an extraordinary artwork. It invites us into a moment suspended in time when chaos meets calmness, where fear encounters faith. I have an aim today or a goal today that's been really put on my heart is to motivate you as we look at not only this powerful text, but the purposeful message of the painting, because this painting has a message within it as well. And also the unique choice that Rembrandt made to include something in this painting within it, within the scene that we're looking at. And I just want us to allow us to explore and to deepen our understanding of our psalm of faith amidst life storms. Our psalm of faith. What I've realized is when I'm going through anything, my go-to in the word is different than when I'm reading just to my own devotion. When I need to go, when I need something from God through his word, I find myself in the book of Psalms. I love the book of Psalms because they are real, they are honest, and it tells me about God. It tells me what his character is like. And I hear people's stories and testimonies. Psalms means hymns or songs. And they're meant to be sung. And I don't sing them. Well, sometimes I do, but not today. But I find that it tells me who God is, like I need reminding who he is. So they tell me that he's my refuge and my strength. They tell me that he is there for me. They tell me that I can go before him. They tell me I can enter his gates with thanksgiving. They tell me all sorts of things about him. They tell me what I can do. They tell me what others have done. They tell me the victories that people are having in their day. Some of them are songs of victory, of when they've gone out to battle. They've come back and they're singing songs around a campfire. Groups of them are songs of ascent when they're on journeys together and they're going on a pilgrimage and they encourage me and they help me in my time of need. But do you realize that in that our own journey, we have these songs. We have these life songs. We have these songs that you sing that you probably don't even really know. You have these songs that you perhaps don't realize that you may sing or that your heart may sing. And in trials and in temptations and in storms and in times of pain and grief and loss, we start to create this song within us. And I've labeled that this morning about the psalm of faith amidst our storms. What are the songs that we're singing? Are we singing ones of discouragement? Are we singing ones that God's not there? Are we singing about fear instead of faith? Are we singing about chaos instead of calmness? What are we singing in the midst of your storm? What is your psalm this morning? What is your life song? What is your song for today? For the situation that you find yourself in, what is on your lips that is coming from your heart? Is it a song of victory? Is it a song of faith? Is it a song of strength and a song of covering and refuge? Is it a song reminding you who God is in your life? And sometimes, if you've never done it, sometimes it's good just to sit and try and understand what your heart is saying this morning and see if it lines up with the Word of God. Because we may have to start singing a new song. So we might find we repeat things over and over again. We have default ways in our lives that the moment there's stress or there's strain, we go a certain way. Maybe think about what that song is saying. And we may have to change the words. And we may have to intentionally change the words of the songs that we sing. And see where that leads you. Maybe it may be turning your chaos into calm. It may be dying the wind. It may be stopping that squall. It may be keeping you safe and secure instead of fear and doubt. Because we sing these songs and we don't know that we sing them sometimes. So what is your heart singing this morning? So my first point is the reality of our storms. In this painting, we are confronted with a raging storm. The disciples are on this. All the disciples are on there, including Jesus. And they're all in different expressions. You can almost see the fear gripping their faces and their lives. And you've got some up there doing things to try and help the situation. Some are clinging on to dear life. Some are looking to God. And some are trying to deal with Jesus there and saying, what are you going to do about it? But there's lots of things going on in that painting. And the more you look, the more you see. And the more you see, the more you question. And I think I don't really get into a lot of artwork, but this has captivated me. So it's a vivid portrayal. It speaks volume about our human experience. Their faces are etched with fear and confusion as they struggle against the winds. In London's West End, they have what's called a frameless art exhibition. I don't know whether you've ever seen it or been there. Some of you might have been there. Some of you travel the world. Where they make art come alive. Rembrandt's painting was included in this frameless art exhibition. And someone filmed it. It is just a YouTube clip. It's someone filming it. But I want us to see it to hopefully give you a different perspective, because I don't know about you, but I need visuals and it helps me understand maybe what was this like. We can read it and we can say, yeah, a squall came up and a few waves were tipping over the edge of the boat. Why were they so afraid? Or this painting can make you think, oh, gee, that's pretty dramatic. But then when they make it come alive, it maybe changes it even again. So maybe let's just watch it, if that's okay, and let's see what it does to our view now. Thanks, Ken. I don't know how long it goes for. I can't remember. That music was real too. That was actually happened in real time. And those people that were getting out of the way of the boat as well, I thought that was pretty funny. But it came alive. They made this picture, which was just this painting done in 1633, come alive. So when it says squall, now you can see perhaps it was a bit more than just a few waves that was lapping the edge of the boat or the back of the boat. No wonder there was fear gripped their faces. No wonder when we read the text, they had the Son of God on the boat, and yet they were still afraid. They'd seen his miracles, yet they were still afraid. No wonder Jesus says, "Where is your faith? Do you still not have it? You've seen the miracles. You've seen who I am. You know I've told you who I am, but yet you still fear in the midst of a storm." Each of us encounters storms in life. It's not an if, it's just a when. And I'm sorry to say that it's not doom and gloom, but you're going to have a storm. Storms will come. And what are we going to do in the midst of those storms? Seasons of uncertainty will appear. Grief, doubt, and loss will be there. The beautiful truth is that these moments are not isolated or uniquely ours. You're not the only one. Rather, they are a shared human experience. They're a part of our life. The disciples, much like us, felt overwhelmed, questioning their safety in the presence of Jesus. But it's essential to recognize that these storms are not as punishments, but they're opportunities to seek deeper understanding and connection with God. I used to not be able to say that because I didn't know whether I agreed with it, to be brutally honest. But when you start going through them and you go through them differently, changes take place. Changes of your faith change take place. I remember being taught that, you know, that you should exercise your faith and you'll get stronger the next time. I thought, oh, phooey. But it actually is true. The more you go through and you bring Jesus into those situations, the more you're ready to face the next and the next and the next. This whole year is about seasons, if you hadn't known. This whole year is about season, and there is a purpose. At the end of this year, I want to preach this message, not this one we're doing now, but another one about that we are seasoned. That we are seasoned at the end of this year. That you are ready and can face, and I'll be believing that you are able to do this, be able to face any season in your life. Whether it's one on a mountaintop, whether it's a great harvest, whether it's a winter where it's things are perhaps dreary and cold and against that can feel against you. Whether it's in one where everything is growing and it is just filled with new life, or whether it's in a time of rest, of letting go and letting God. But I pray at the end of this year that we are a congregation that is seasoned for life, that you're able to go through the storms of life perhaps differently than you did in 2024. I think the great highlight for me is not that I like keep bringing it up, but when COVID happened, it challenged everybody. It challenged churches and pastors and leaders and congregations. It challenged workplaces. It challenged families. It challenged relationships. It challenged every facet of our life. We realize how fragile life is. We realize that, you want to know how fragile your life is? Let the power go off for more than 10 minutes. You don't know what's going on. You think, well, hang on, what is it going to come back on? Well, what do I do about my hot dogs? What do I do about my milk? What do I do about the stuff in the fridge? Is it going to thaw out? What do? How do I turn? I don't know. How do I go to the bathroom? I go in the dark anyway. It makes no difference. But I have a toilet about this big. There's no way I'm spilling. But it makes... You start to realize the fragility of life. And then when your water goes off, mate, there's a challenge. We're going to talk about toilets. You flush the toilet, there's no water. We're so used to having these amenities which are flawless. You want to turn your tap on and water comes out. What happens when that stops? Everything gets challenged. You think, well, I don't know. Do I have a rainwater tank? I don't know. Maybe I should have prepared. Well, what happens if I do? Am I going to drink the rainwater? I don't know whether to drink the rainwater. Can we allow to drink the rainwater? You know, what's this other one with grey water? And is that all right? Can we drink that? You know, you just don't know how fragile our lives are until we have some of these normal things taken away. So what happens in the storms when things change? What happens in the storm of your life when there is a loss, when there is grief, when the something that you did every day for a certain amount of years all of a sudden isn't there again? Do we crumble to our knees, or do we invite Jesus into this situation, or do we recognize that Jesus is in it? Do we not count it a privilege in a sense that we're really happy, but we count it a privilege that Jesus is with us in the situation? How do we get through that, and how does that enable you to get through it? It's a really interesting question, and it's one that I've faced over the last some years, and it's one that I don't look forward to any challenges or storms, but I'm not as afraid of them as I used to be, because I know faith is growing. I know that my faith is growing in these situations. Trying to understand the disciples' fears, it evokes in us the understanding that even those closest to Jesus, the ones who witnessed his miracles and teachings, were not immune to fear. So you may look at someone that you feel has got so much more faith than you. Understand that they will still face fear in the midst of a storm. There is no one that goes through these things that aren't touched or affected by it. So we can be encouraged by that. But it doesn't mean that we should say, well, it's okay because we're all going to be fearful. It's what we do in that is how we grow and continue to grow. This can encourage us to acknowledge our own fears as we face the storms in our lives. Whether it's fear of failure. Who has a fear of failure? Don't put your hand up. Loss of loved ones. Financial instability or health issues. Recognizing our vulnerability is the first step towards seeking solace in Jesus. I want to give you each point. I want to give you some practical things. And this practical part to this point is, it's in those moments of doubt and fear, consider something really easy, but something that we all rarely do. In these moments of doubt and fear, consider establishing a routine of prayer and reflection. When life feels overwhelming, pause and invite Jesus. I've been stuck on this word of inviting Jesus into every situation, inviting Jesus into every moment. I've been in some meetings over the last few weeks and in the coming week that I'm actually have been a bit fearful of, and I've just been inviting Jesus along the way, and it's been pleasantly surprising of how God takes control and just helps you in those situations. I've physically been inviting Jesus in. So, man, I need you, God, in this. I need you, Jesus, in this one, because I may have this plan, but my plan's going to go to mush. My plan can be railroaded at one comment, But your plans, Father God, will go to the end, and I know we'll receive a great result. And whether it's the result I want or not, it's irrelevant. I just know if it's him in the boat, if it's him in there, it's going to be good, yeah? Use scripture. Use scripture such as Philippians 4, 6 to 7, which encourages us to bring our anxieties to God. It fosters peace in our hearts. You can see the scripture up on there. Start using God's word to help us in situations. That's why I talked about Psalms. Who often goes to Psalms when they're in trouble, when they don't know where else to go? They just say, I know I've got to read your word. Where do I go? Do you read, you know, this story or that story, or do you go to Psalms? It's okay to go to Psalms. Don't feel you're shallow or that you're narrow-minded on that, just or you don't have the biblical knowledge of where to go to. Go to Psalms. They're people's testimonies. You'll get encouraged. You'll get inspired by the Word of God so you can move forward in where you're going to. Will you be lost or found in the storm? The second is the unchanging presence of Jesus. Within the chaos of the sea stands Jesus, calm and steadfast. You can see him in the picture. His presence envelops the painting, provoking a stark contrast to the turmoil surrounding him. While the disciples are consumed with fear, Christ embodies peace, reminding us that he is the anchor in our storms. And at the heart of this scene lies an invitation to turn our eyes from the turbulence and fix our gaze on him. Jesus asks us, as he asked his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? His unwavering presence is a testimony to his sovereignty over our lives. No matter how fierce the storm, he is always with us, urging us to trust in his power and his love. I would struggle saying that if I didn't believe it. I would struggle saying that by faith if I didn't believe it. But I 100% believe it. He is always with us. He is with you in every single storm. We just need to make sure that you know that he's there. Change the way you view it. There are 12 people on that boat plus Jesus. There are people on your boat plus Jesus. No matter in your household how many people are in your household, no matter how many people in your situation, there's always plus Jesus. He's not just the add-on, he's always there. He's not just the plus one, he is Jesus in the midst of your storms. He is Jesus in the midst of every circumstance. Jesus remains fully engaged and untroubled. His calm in the face of chaos exemplifies his divine authority over nature and by extension over your life, over our lives. As we sit in this whole view of that whole aspect, we may ask ourselves, how often do we seek his calmness in our crazy moments, in our chaos moments? Because what I find is people set up these, especially Christians do this. I don't know. I don't like picking on us, but you know, it's pretty easy to. We set up these things when everything's great. We're going to read. We're going to pray. We're going to set this person up. I've got this person who's accountable. I'm going to be accountable to this person. It's going to be my mentor. This person's going to help me be discipled, and this person over here I'm going to go to. The moment trouble comes, you wipe all that out. And you sit alone. You sit fearful. You don't phone the person you said you were going to phone. You don't read what you said you were going to read. You don't seek God like you said you were going to seek God in the middle of a storm. We shut all that stuff out. I know I was going to do all that, but now I'm in a storm. But wasn't that when you set up a storm? Wasn't all those things you set in place for your life when you were going to go through a tough time? But then you wipe it all out when you are going to go through it? What's the point? What's the point? If you're going to set these things up, use them. If you're going to make these bold statements about, well, I'm going to invite Jesus in the midst of every time I have any trouble, do it. If you're going to have scriptures that you set aside for when you're going through a hard time, read them. Don't shut them out and say, okay, I can deal with that all later. I've now got to focus on where how to get out of this. Breathe, calm, step back. Trust your process. Trust what you put in your life. Trust in the word. Is it hard to do? Yes. But is it beneficial? Absolutely. Do it once. The next time will be even better. Do it the time after that, it'll be even better again. You'll be able to go through every single storm. Are they going to be a hassle? Of course they're going to be a hassle. Every storm is different, yeah? Every thing that we go through has a different effect on us. Whether the waves are 10 foot or 2 foot, whether there's lightning or whether it's just thunder, whether there's hail, whether there's rain, whether there's sleet, whether there's a king tide that's going to tip you over, whether there's going to be an abnormality, a summer storm, a winter storm, or whatever season you're in, you can be prepared for all of them. Jesus represents an unwavering fortress of peace when we invite him into our storms. We tap into his divine strength, transforming our fear into faith. The practical thing for this point, just as Rembrandt included something unique in his painting to symbolize connection, we must seek community and connection among each other. Engage in conversation, share your burdens, provide support for one another. I was thankful to hear some of those praise reports this morning that when someone's in the middle of a storm, that the church can rise up and be their support. You can't take it away, but we can certainly help them. We can certainly stand alongside them. We can certainly lift up their hands. That's what a community, a church should do. That's what we are about. The Bible tells us that's what we're about. We can help foster a nurturing environment where faith can flourish amidst trials. We are called to fan each other's gifts into flames. We are called to sharpen one another, encourage one another, and love one another. Those scriptures on the screen are scriptures where you can find those very things. We are there to encourage someone. You've got gifts and talents, and when they go through a storm, they can be dulled, they can be taken away. But you stand alongside one another and say, come on, you know what God's got for you. You know who you are in him. An iron sharpening iron, that means it can be a bit of friction there sometimes. But I'd much rather the wounds of a brother and a friend rather than ones of the enemy. But we have to be cautious on that. Be gentle, be kind. But help one another through those times. Don't let them forget. There's someone that's come to me just recently and says, look, I want some help in understanding the word. And I went to this person, I said, listen, I will help, but you be genuine. If it's genuine, we'll help. I will do everything I possibly can to help you, but you be genuine. That's iron sharpening iron. Is that a nice thing to say? Not really, but is it it's actually comes from a place of love. It's not about doing something with a different agenda. You do something with the right agenda to help one another, to keep each other accountable, to help each other stay on the track, because the enemy just wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to take away where God wants to add. And we need to be people that add to one another's lives. We need to encourage. Sometimes the words aren't always sweet, but they always should be based in love. They should always be based from an agenda of getting past something, breaking patterns, doing something different than we normally do. Get rid of some of the default mechanisms in our life that as moment we have stress, we go a certain way. If that's taking us away, then cut that off and start plowing a different road. And that's hard work. It's not always easy. But the end result is there's difference. What do they say? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and again and expecting a different result. We do that in our Christian walks, but then we blame God for it. God, you didn't come through. Well, you didn't ask me to. The Bible tells us you have not because you asked not. Jesus says, invite me into the middle of your storm. Invite me into your situation. Invite me into your finances. Invite me into the way you feel. Invite me into your emotions, your workplace, and everything else. We want it, but then we don't ask him, and then we blame him. It's insanity. It's crazy. I feel sorry for God. He's blamed for everything. Where were you, God? I was here. Where were you, God? I was still here. Where are you? I'm still here. Just don't acknowledge it. Will you be lost or will you be found in the storm? The journey from fear to faith. The disciples' panic is real in Rembrandt's painting, yet their journey from fear to faith is crucial for our understanding. Each stroke of paint captures the moment when they begin to realize who Jesus truly is. This experience applies to us as well. When we choose to lean into our faith during these times, we become vessels of God's grace and God's strength. So the uniqueness that I said about this painting is that Rembrandt himself included himself in this painting. You can just see him there, oh, it's framed. That's Rembrandt there. He painted himself in this picture. It wasn't a Where's Wally. It is genuine. It's there, and it's a reason it's so deep. It's that he's showing us that we'll go through storms. He's showing us that we'll look through a storm. See, the uniqueness of that is incredible. By including himself as one of the disciples in the painting, Rembrandt takes a bold step to symbolize our shared human struggle in the face of adversity. His self-inclusion reflects the reality that we all walk this journey together, wrestling with our fears and reaching for our faith. The fact that he painted himself into that scene is not just a mere stylistic choice. It serves as a profound theological statement. Positioning himself among them, he acknowledges that each of us grapples with that fear, the uncertainty, the appearances of strength often masking inner turmoil. This act encourages us, the ones that view this painting from 1633 till today, to relate to our own struggles to that of the disciples. It's a beautiful inclusion that our journeys are interwoven with the experiences of others. We are all navigating life's storms together. And it's also an emphasis that our Christian doctrine or our community is being a part of that community that supports each other in times of need. I love things like this. It has so much meaning. There is pages and pages of research and people's points of view on this painting. They talk about every disciple and every face on there and what they're doing and what they believe their expressions are saying. But that's not the word of God. That's a picture of the text. We've always got to go back to the text. But I just love that he's captured that. And I love that that brings a reality, that they made it come alive, that the storms of life are real, that they're more powerful sometimes than we give them credit for, because we can talk about them on a Sunday and they're all great. You don't know what someone's going through next to you. The mask of everything's fine is hiding the turmoil that's going underneath. Some of you related to those waves crashing over the boat like nothing before. Some of you are thinking, man, I'm in the middle of a storm and I don't know how to get out. I don't know how to reach out for help. I can't help you do that because you're the one that has to start it. You're the one that has to actually have the intentional desire to say, I need help. Jesus, I need you in my boat. I need you in my situation. And I need my church. I need my church community to gather around. There are so many needs. There are so many storms that it's overwhelming. I don't know how God copes with them all. Praise God, he's God. That's all I can say. But I love that in the middle of that, there he is peering through the storm. What's he saying to you? I'm not going weird saying that pain is talk, but what's he saying to you? I think for me, he's saying, Andrew, are you lost or found in the storm? Are you going to be lost to the storm, or are you going to find yourself in the storm? Because the only way I find myself is know that Jesus is in the midst of my storm. What is it saying to you? So the practical thing is, when facing adversity, shift your mindset from simply seeking relief to embracing the process of growth. Reflect on what you might learn from your trials, allowing God to shape you through them. Journal your thoughts, write them down. Your prayers, write them down. Keep track of your journey, your adventure, and the lessons learned along the way. Will you be lost? Will you be found? We'll close now. But every storm we face is the power of trials. But every storm we face is not just a challenge, but also can become the catalyst for growth. The disciples' experience on the Sea of Galilee led them to a deeper faith, ultimately preparing them for their ministries and the spread of the gospel. It's the same for us. Our trials work within us as with a profound purpose. James 1, 2-4 reminds us, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And you can see the rest of that scripture. And the guys can come up now. Each storm shapes us. It refines our character and deepening our trust in God. I can say that because I know it to be true. Just as Rembrandt painted himself in that storm, we are called to realize our role in this story, allowing our experiences to fuel our passion and purpose in the world. See, it's all about spreading the gospel. It's all about sharing your faith. It's all about the testimonies that you have. What is your testimony going to be about? Is it going to be about being lost, or is it going to be about being found? What are we going to be sharing with the world? And will they work out the way you want them to? I don't know. Only God knows. And I've been on and on about the I don't knows in God of recent times. See, in Ezekiel 37, when the Son of Man was asked, can these bones live? The Bible says, oh, only you know, God. What he's actually saying is, I don't know. I don't know. You can take your I don't knows to God. You see, what happened after that is, see, there was these bunch of dry bones. And before him, God could see what they could be, but he couldn't. So when God says to him, Son of Man, can these bones live? Only you know. Maybe he didn't want to say, I don't know. But church, we can say, I don't know. It's okay to say that. Because see, God does something amazing then to him. He says, listen. Listen to my words and repeat them. You know, sometimes when we get to our I don't knows in life, in the middle of a trial and struggle and a storm, shut your eyes and open your ears. Because what you can see may distract you. I don't know what you see in that, but I see fear and trembling. I see waves that are about to swamp a boat. I see something that's going to take you down. Maybe I don't know how this is going to end, God. It's okay. Shut your eyes and open your ears. And all that Son of Man had to do was speak the words that God told him. And he prophesied to the bones that they come together. The Bible then talks about that there was a rattling of the bones coming together, that sinew started to form, muscles and skin, but there was still no life. And he goes on, and then he goes, and then keep your eyes shut. This is what I read in it. And keep your ears open, because now I'm going to tell you how to get life into it. Now breathe in these dry bones and these lifeless bodies now. Let the wind come from the four corners of the world, bring life and breathe into what was had no hope and what was dry. And then at the end, open your eyes. There stood before me a vast army, a vast heavenly army. See, what was just prior to that was a hopeless situation. It goes on and it talks about that those bones was the house of Israel, and they said that they were dry bones and they had no hope. In the midst of our storms, we can look at it and say, there is no hope. Can I say, in those times, stop relying on what you see and rely on what you hear from God and speak those words to your storms. Speak the words that God's put in your ears to those storms. Even if you can't see it, speak and prophesy the word of God to your storms. Now, no one knows what the end looks like. We can read about this and it calmed it and it was nice and calm and they could go back fishing. It was great. No algal bloom there. It was fantastic. But maybe they just calmed down a little bit in your life and you could just get into port. Maybe you tossed out of the boat, but somehow you made it to shore. I don't know the end of the stories, but I don't need to know the end of the stories. I just need to know where my faith is, that my faith is in God. So I don't know the end of your story. I don't know where the end of your storm's going to lead you or what's going to happen in that storm. What I do know is that we must have Jesus with us, that we must have an invitation given to Jesus. And those times that you're just so distracted by what you see around you, shut your eyes and say, God, speak to me. Let your words speak and I will speak those words. God, you are my shield and my refuge. God, you're my help in time of need. God, you're the one that's the lifter of my head. You're the one where my hope comes from. You said, Lord, that you're going to bottle the tears of an evening and that we reap a harvest of joy in the morning. Start prophesying the words that you hear. Then open your eyes and see what God has done. Let us not get distracted with every single storm that we have. Let us not find ourselves lost in the storm. So again, I ask you, will you be lost or will you be found in the storm? Anyone that says they can give you a perfect answer for every storm is saying an untruth. And I'm not saying that here this morning. I'm just saying for whatever we go through, just make sure you've got Jesus. Just make sure you've got him with you every step of the way. I sat down with a person this morning that doesn't have a fantastic diagnosis for their life. I don't have the words to say. I have a huge amount of love for this person that goes back years. I don't know what to say. I am sorry you're going through this storm. I say to that person, just invite Jesus in the midst of your storm and we will surround you with love. We will surround you with care. We will walk the journey. We will shut our eyes and we'll prophesy the word of God into your life. May God have complete control and journey you through this time. So whoever's facing storms this morning, whoever's looking fine, because you all look fine, you all look magnificent this morning. But I know some of them are masks. And Jesus sees every mask and sees the turmoil that's going behind those masks. And I say this morning, We're just going to have a time. I'm going to open up the altar, and it's only because I want to be able to pray with you and have other church people just come and pray with you. We don't have to know the ins and outs of everything, but let the church be the church. Let us bear it honestly before the throne of grace that you so confidently can come and enter. Our Bible says enter the throne of grace with confidence and present your prayers and your petitions. We do it every Tuesday night. We do it every opportunity we can. Maybe this morning you want to come and just be prayed for with someone, entering the throne of grace and knowing that you've got love and support, that God will help you through a difficult time. So I want us to stand to our feet if we can, and I want to pray a blessing over you as well. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace this morning as we go out now.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message this week.